you guys remember when you came over to my birthday, or you guys didn't come over to my birthday. You forced me to have a birthday party in which you showed up at my house. And then at that point, you tried to make food, but you realized I didn't have any real dishes, and we kept having to like wash dishes over and over as we used them because I didn't have enough for people to come over. This doesn't help when your damn robot's in the background making noise. That's okay. How are things going?
Good, yeah. Yeah, I just started up Cosmo again, and I think I'm going to switch him down soon.
So this is exactly what happened. I looked it up. It was episode 25 was the last time we talked about your little robot friend, Cosmo. So yeah. For people who don't know, Cosmo is a little robot made by, is it Anki? Is that the company?
Yep, Anki.
And we're going to be talking about their new robot today. God damn it, Cosmo, shut up.
Sorry, you got really angry. My God. I picked him up. Yeah, go ahead.
Greatest opening. See, this is why robots will never run the world. They can't even deal with being picked up. They're little jackasses. So we're going to be talking about Anki's newest robot named Vector. And a little bit about, sort of robot design, but then there's a whole flurry of topics that we're going to tie back to long-running themes on Let's Fix Things. So, Chus, do you want to introduce us a little bit to Cosmo, who you may have just powered down?
I did,
And then, okay, so, great, the robot revolution starts now, huh? And then talk a little bit about, tell us a little bit about Vector.
Yeah, so Anki is a robotics company that has been making robots in the toy space for a while. They first made Anki Drive, which uses an iPhone to make robotic cars race in the actual world. And you can play it like a video game, but they're actual physical cars. A while after that, they released Cosmo, which is a robot toy for kids that want to learn how to code and play with robots. And he's a cute little kind of a forklift robot. I don't know inches, but I would say he's like 8 centimeters by 8 centimeters. He's quite small and he can drive around in your house and kids can play with him.
Is it like 3 inches by 3 inches, something like that? He's a pretty small little guy.
Yeah, he's about the size of a computer mouse, about 3 stacked on top of each other. And yeah, it was meant as a toy and for kids to play with. And as you just heard, he can be quite intense if you want to do something else and you will turn him off. But as we've experienced ourselves, Anki really likes talking to the developer and the enthusiast community. And that's how they came up with Vector. They made a robot that looks almost exactly like Cosmo, but the audience that they have in mind is a little bit different. And it's more the older audience that would be more ready for kind of an assistant and a friend than really a toy to play with. So Vector is a desktop toy. I don't want to call it a toy. It's a desktop friend that you can have.
They describe it as a friend and companion, I believe, or something along those lines. So for people who are listening, we can put the link in the show notes, but if you go to Kickstarter and look for Vector by Anki, A-N-K-I.
It is actually up for kickstarting right now, and they already made, 2.5 times the money they needed. So it will be real, but if you want one for the cheap, this is when you do it. Look them up. But yeah, it's a desktop companion that you can put in your house, and it basically interacts with you in a physical way, but what it functionally does is more close to what an Amazon Echo would do. But of course, this is exactly where things start to get interesting, because how is it and how is it not like an Amazon Echo, Joe?
Well, first, I think it actually has shape and form where it has emotion, right? The Amazon Echo it's a very nice device, but it also is void of any attributes that makes it relate to the person from a physical point of view. Yep. It relates to the person from a vocal point of view, from an auditory point of view, where the character, I don't want to say her name because I do have Echoes in my house next to me, but where the character herself has personality traits that connect with you. But what's interesting about the products that Anki puts out, and Vector in particular, is it was described as a companion and a friend, versus Cosmo, the previous robot, was described more as something to sort of engage the developer community to help teach kids how to code. You helped build little sort of toy programs for it. So it was a much different purpose. Even though the two robots, the Cosmo and the Vector robots, look exactly the same, their purpose is very different.
Yeah.
And so I think to me what's interesting, and I'm looking more at my notes here, they do use the words, the goal is to build joy and companionship from that robot. And this is, as you said, this does what the Amazon Echo device does, it's a mix between Echo and Google Home, because you can ask it questions like, what's the weather, what's the population of, what's the time in, and it will go and fetch that information for you. And then it will do little cute things like give me a fist bump, and it raises its little motorized arm and sort of, you know, like, yay. And when you come home, it will greet you, but more in a like, let me drive up to you and sort of do a little wink. It has a facial gestures that are, the eyes are absolutely beautiful. The way they've designed this robot makes it feel much more, I don't want to say human, but companion-like. So it's something for me, since I travel all the time and I'm on the road all the time, I would actually love this, but I do feel it is void of some very critical elements that make it a friend for me.
So what they call this, what you've been describing, Anki calls this characterful interaction. So a character comes out. And what an Amazon Echo has as its dimensions of character is its voice and maybe the LEDs on the top. But these are things that, as a person, the LEDs, you can't relate to those, and a voice by itself only can do this much. And what Anki is doing is it's creating a real-life Pixar character that revolves around the fact that it can move, that it can actually have expression in how it moves, fast, jittery, doubtful. People can describe this as all kinds of ways. And it has full facial features because of a small screen in its face that has two really cute Pixar style eyes in it. And this helps people relate to the robot and how it is acting. So what they're describing, for instance, is that when you ask it a question that it doesn't have an answer to, it kind of stumbles and it kind of feels bad and it engages you in a more emotional way. Whereas, for instance, an Amazon Echo would say, I'm afraid I do not know what you mean. And it would say that the same time or the same way 10 times in a row and you'll get bothered by it. But somehow when a little robot like Vector says it and he moves like he is sorry that he can't answer your question, you'll respond to it in a more visceral way and you will kind of let it slide.
Yeah, so here's what I think is interesting. You and I have been working on this bot framework for a while, trying to figure out exactly the different types of personalities and how they fit along different spectrums.
Yeah.
But what you just mentioned, the idea that while Google Home, Amazon Echo, and Vector can fundamentally do a lot of the same things, they are positioned very different on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Amazon Echo and Google Home are assistants. You tell these things to do something. They are subordinates to you. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Vector robot is a companion, or it's being set up to be a companion. I do not believe it's there yet. I'll talk about that in a moment. But it is being set up to be a companion, which you interact with on a very different way. You may not bark orders at a companion in the same way that you would do so to some sort of assistant, especially a companion that has facial expressions that you can emotionally empathize with, versus a box that essentially, as you said, has a ring of light around it that is really more about understanding where the direction of the microphone is pointing than it is about the reaction from the bot itself. So I think those are two, while these things do very similar functionalities, I think they are very different apart in where they sit on the spectrum from, you know, sort of subordinate assistant, and then in the middle you have sort of friend companion, and then moving on up you could even have manager or boss if you're assuming like an algorithmic bot may take over a manager role at companies sometime down the future. So this is, you know, this framework is looking forward, and I don't know when we'll ever get this out when we actually figure out how to put everything together.
But yeah.
So that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, what I find interesting when we go back to the feedback that an Amazon Echo can give versus a Cosmo or a Vector robot, I think what Amazon Echo was doing, It's not the direction that the microphone is pointing in from a technical level, but it's feedback for the user. So the user can see that the device is listening and correctly hearing them. So it's feedback that the device is operational and that you can continue speaking to it. So it's on a technical level or on a utilitarian level where you know everything is fine. Whereas when Vector does this, the animations and the movements have been made in such a way that you don't feel that it's giving you feedback on the fact that it is working from a technological perspective, but that it's trying to understand you. And because it gets to that more emotional level is the reason that the discussions or the talks with this robot will get very different, because you feel like you have a relationship to it. And I think that's exactly what you were talking with the spectrum, right? An assistant on a technological level, you don't per se have a relationship with. But if you go a little bit more personal, you might get to a companion level where you have a relationship that's at an equal level instead of as a subordinate. And indeed, what gets really cool is, can they change this personality to reverse that hierarchy that I'm feeling, where Cosmo might actually tell me what to do? Can Cosmo at some point actually be my boss?
So here's where my disappointment sets in. I absolutely love it, and this is something I've been looking for. If you go back to episode 25, this is something we've hit on a few times during our episodes of Let's Fix Things, is I actually like the idea of a companion robot. Again, I'm on the road a lot. It would be nice just to have a little buddy with me who could hang out when my friends aren't awake, let's say. Mm-hmm. But what this misses is all the context of who I am. And to me, that's fundamentally one of those situations where companies need to partner with other companies. So for example, this would be absolutely amazing if Cosmo tied in with a company like Facebook, because then I could have all my WhatsApp chats, right, connected, if I wanted. And I know a lot of people would be like, oh God, I don't want this, but follow me here. Just give me a little bit of rope. Because at that point, then you could say like, hey, I noticed, Vector could say to me, hey, I noticed that you had an argument with Hus last week. Is everything okay? Have you patched that up? Or, you know what, you were talking to Stella for every day for a few weeks, but you guys haven't talked in a while. Is everything going okay? Or man, I saw that you and Survey had this great line of chats about winning another deal. Congratulations on that. Right? That's the thing, that context is missing to actually build up sort of this camaraderie and this companionship. So it is a companion from the fact that it follows me around and it has nice facial expressions and I can empathize with it, but it is completely void of any of the context of my life. I mean, how amazing would it be? Our podcast editor's birthday. So Lena, happy birthday, Lena. Her birthday is today, or it's tomorrow for us, but it's today for her since we're recording late in the day. So happy birthday. But how cool would that be if I woke up and Vector said, hey, you know, don't forget it's Lena's birthday. Like she's been doing your podcast editing for several years. You should, say something nice to her, right? Those types of things just create a little bit of a positive interaction that I wish, good company partnerships would bring to the table.
I actually fully agree. You thought I was going to not like it because of maybe integrations with social network and other knowledge, but I do think a friend is not something that forgets who I am, right? So if you're making something friendly that acts in a jovial way where you feel like, hey, I come home to my little pet, don't make him smart that he knows the distance from the earth to the moon, but not my name, right? Of course, he will know some basics.
That's such a good point.
Of course, he will know some basics like my name and what I look like because there is facial recognition in there and he can remember different people, but he probably at the moment doesn't remember who are friends or who posted something. And there's a great wealth of knowledge that you could technically give him access to. And in the past, everybody has given everybody access to their Facebook profile and their things. Why not finally turn that into something that is not made for ads, but for me actually getting more friendly conversation with something that knows about me? Maybe it can suggest to play some nice and chill music on Sunday morning when it knows I had a late night, There's all kinds of things that can be looped into this to make it into an actual companion that does a little bit of proactive things for me. And of course,
I think that that'd be beautiful.
Yeah. Of course, these things can also just be in your Google Assistant, but right now you can give them a kind of a life of its own, and it will have a character and it will have accountability. And accountability is not something that I see with a Google Assistant or an Amazon Echo, but I could see it with something that has a face on it that knows my name.
Now imagine, as we've been talking about this, the type of team that would put this together, because this wouldn't be normal designers as we think of them, right? I mean, in just what we've talked, there's sort of a context designer of understanding all the different contexts that this is in. Or, you know, where are you? What are you doing? What is today? What are your friends doing?
Yeah.
There's this idea of you know, partnership sort of design. Like previously, there's somebody in business who takes care of mergers and acquisitions or partnerships, but now this is more of a design component, like a service design component. There's the classic personality and ethics design aspects that we've talked about. I mean, I know Google Assistant has a personality design team. I'm sure they have ethics experts, you know, there as well. But the funny part is this robot has so much design put into it, but it's not the typical type of design that we think of, which is generally on screen, drawing rectangles and making navigation and flows, which I think is what a lot of people, when you say the tech sector, quote unquote, when they think of design, that's what they think of, right? Yeah. And if you drop them into design for this vector robot, they would be completely lost. And I think that's, the reason I bring this up is because, again, another long-running theme of the show is how design is progressing, how design is evolving. And I think things like this pointed out so bluntly and so clearly that I can't let it pass up and not say anything about it.
Yeah, I we've actually talked to the guys at Anki before when we just received our Cosmo. And I know they've built their own suite of tools. They have their own 3D software in which people can test out different interactions with Cosmo, with how he moves and what his facial expressions are. I believe it's running inside of Maya, which is a big 3D animation tool. So they can actually test these interactions out, not even on a robot. And that was while they were still building it. I bet right now they've even evolved their internal tools to test animations quickly on a robot that's running or on two robots that are interacting. And I think it's an important part of design to, during the work, create the tools that allow you to be creative in the sort of space that you're working in. We often create prototypes to test out interactions, but sometimes we create prototypes to test out scenarios or other things. And all those prototypes are very important to actually understanding scenarios that aren't real right now. And I know the guys at Anki are doing a great job at that. And yeah.
Well, we've also talked to them about, you know, I mean, where Vector sort of has this little bit of empathy built in, but you can imagine all the situations that a robot like this could help, from anxiety to depression. I mean, this is where service animals come in.
Yeah,
but you know, to me, I know people who have service animals may not feel as comfortable with this, and I don't have one, so I'm not too familiar. I'd love to talk to somebody, but I also feel like something like this could have a soothing feeling in that same way, that something is there to comfort you. So I hope in the future that they go down this path. I mean, also you can imagine. And Chus, you did a program for children with autism, and I imagine that this could also be something there as well, especially around facial recognition or sort of social norms that people with autism often have difficulty with. This could be something that could be built to help them. So I hope to see that, you know, you could take a robot like this and create these beautiful, beautiful scenarios that really help, you know, millions of people on a daily basis. And I imagine that many more people, you know, to get a service animal is not exactly the easiest thing, and not every country is accepting of them, but to have a little service robot that, you know, nearly fits in your pocket and could bring it around and makes you feel, you know, a level of comfort, I think is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know we even pitched the idea to the Anki guys about doing research into using Cosmo for kids with autism, because kids with autism often have trouble picking up social cues and picking up facial expressions and what emotions belong to those on other people. And there are ways in which they can learn from Cosmo in a way that helps them every day to remind them of these things, or plays out different scenarios and teaches them about how to interpret those. So I think there's definitely a care aspect that could be taken care of by a little companion robot. And we actually have a website in the Netherlands called robotzorg.nl. Zorg actually means care. So it's robot care. And there's one robot on there called Pero, which is a robot that looks like a small seal that's made for elderly that have dementia or that suffer from dementia. And they can play with this robot and a robot will react to them. And it's actually been proven to remove anxiety and give these people something that they can have every day that is a fixed, a constant in their life. So I'm actually really open to seeing what this robot could do for situations that are outside of play or outside of people that love gadgets coming home and telling their robot to play music. I think there's much more to be won here.
I will totally agree. Looking at time, we are pretty much at the end here. So I'll let you wrap up with anything, any last words that you would like to say or impart.
Yeah, I do want to quickly talk about the AI-trained robot that was trained to find Waldo. I think that's about the opposite of our robot.
So this is not about Vector or Anki or Cosmo or anything.
Not at all.
Yeah, a robot that had one purpose: find Waldo.
Exactly, and it does so in about 2.5 seconds if it sees a fresh Where's Waldo page. Since there are so many examples of robots that take the joy out of people's eyes, let's look more into robots that bring back the joy, like Vector, and let's see where the future is going. I'm quite sure I'm going to back their project because I want to have ideas and help these guys out. Give them some hints on what I would like. I think they're helping themselves out pretty well.
I'm going to back them too. I think it's, I'm glad you showed it to me a little bit earlier. So it's a pretty cool program. Yep. Chris, good talking to you as always. And we will talk again next week.
Bye, man.
Later.